John 17, 1 through 11. And I'm going to be reading from a translation titled The Message. It uses more common or modern language. So if it doesn't match what's in your pew Bibles, that will be the reason. Jesus said these things. Then raising his eyes in prayer, he said, Father, it's time. Display the bright splendor of your Son, so the Son in turn may show your bright splendor. You put him in charge of everything human, so he might give real and eternal life to all in his charge. And this is the real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had in your presence before there was a world. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place, then you gave them to me, and they have now done what you said. They know now, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them, and they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours and yours mine, and my life is on display in them, for I'm no longer going to be visible in the world. They'll continue in the world while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me, so they can be one heart and mind as we are one heart and mind. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. May the Lord bless this reading today. Well, as I mentioned today, for churches that are affiliated with the United Church of Christ, it's an opportunity to have a mental health awareness day. And after being here in the Valley, roughly 2.5 years now, I know that many families in our community and even in our church are touched by mental health issues in some fashion. My own family is no exception. Too often, I think we feel as if we are alone in this, but in reality, issues of mental health are at the core of many of the problems that plague our communities. Certainly, the scourge of addiction is one of those, but there are many others. Things like depression and anxiety, dementia, domestic abuse, poverty, child abuse, suicide, and many others are either directly or indirectly linked to mental illnesses, and no one is immune from it. To bury our heads in the sand and pretend that these things don't exist is not going to make it any better. There are resources available, perhaps not enough, but there are those people that are trained and skilled at working with families as they face these issues. And as a church family, we need to be aware of these resources and to find within ourselves, perhaps more importantly, the courage to help. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be building a mental health awareness resource table in the fellowship hall. There's a few things out there now, but you'll also note that there's some track holders on the back wall. You've probably walked by them a million times, and there are actually tracks in there that address some of the common problems and issues that we have. And I've taken some time to update those and to put some information in those. So if you want to take notice of those today when you leave, you can see if perhaps there's something there that might provide you with some insight or information. But over the next few weeks, I'll be working on this resource table. I'd like to invite you, if you have things that you think would be helpful for others, to also contribute to that. And I'll be looking for information on agencies and individuals that are available to help. Now, I'd encourage you to stop by this table and just look it over once we have it set up. And if you see something that would be useful for you or for someone you know, please feel free to take what you need. But most importantly, I think that aside from a resource table, it's important that we as a people find a way to have a conversation. And I think many of us would be surprised at the compassion and the empathy that we will find in our friends, in our neighbors, and in the members of our church family. Because really, few things are ever solved by ignoring them. So I hope this proves to be a fruitful exercise for all of us. Well, our scripture reading today from the Gospel of John is what one of my friends calls the real Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus shares with his followers and represents some of his final words to them. It occurs in John's account of the upper room on the night that he was betrayed. And I think it's very interesting about how he portrays the disciples, much different than some of the other messages we hear. Because you remember how Jesus was so often frustrated and disappointed in his disciples and how confused they were, how slow to understand. And it seems like they never could really get it and understand why he had come. But here he speaks to them clearly, and we see something quite different. Listen as Jesus describes them in his prayer. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place, then you gave them to me, and they have now done what you said. They know now, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you, for the message you gave me, I gave them. And they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. Quite a different take on how Jesus feels about this group, small group of men and women. These are powerful words. They tell of a mission fulfilled and a job completed, but only from the perspective of Jesus on his earthly journey. Because there are definitely other elements in this prayer that speak to Jesus being glorified, once again with God, of perhaps being invisible in one sense, but certainly still engaged and at work in the world and in the lives of those that follow behind him. And these words represent a passing of the baton, so to speak, a charge and a call to these men and women to take up the mission that God has given them. And then after a few rough weeks around the Easter story, of course, where they go into hiding and seek to escape from the church leaders and the Romans, they do so with an amazing display of grace and love. One of the dangers, I think, as we read this prayer is that we think that these are words of Jesus strictly for those that were in the room then. We imagine that they're for someone else, not for us. After all, he's speaking to a pretty exclusive group that day. And if this is what we're thinking, I'd like to ask that you consider it from a broader perspective, because I believe that this prayer is for each one of us. For those that have gone before us, for those of us now living, and for those that will follow in our footsteps and perhaps aren't even born yet. If that's the case, what are we supposed to do? It's quite possible that if someone walked into our midst today, they would have a difficult time. Imagine, if you would, that you are a person like that. And maybe you've never been in this congregation or this church, or perhaps any congregation. Or perhaps you've only had a brief introduction to church over the course of your life. My last article in the Center Daily Times talked about this a little bit, and I can remember when I first started going to church. And the only thing that really made me stick with it is that there was a pretty young girl holding my hand. She's in the third pew. And she helped me through that. But I can tell you, it's not a comfortable feeling walking into a strange place, not knowing what the customs are or the prayers, how to find the right song in the hymnal. And then you look around and you don't see a familiar face. Everyone around you seem to know one another, but you feel secluded or excluded. Compound this with what may be going on in your life as you walk into this church. And you can see why some people maybe go to church once or twice and never go back. Because they come in here looking for help and assurance, and that's not what they find. I heard a sobering statistic last year that said when a new person walks through the door of your church, there is a 60 to 70% chance that that person is experiencing some form of crisis in their lives. Some form of crisis. And as you are imagining yourself as that person, what would you hope to find in a place like this today? It's quite possible you might not even know. But you know that you are seeking, you are searching, you are hurting. Maybe you're just looking for someone to listen. A kind word, acceptance perhaps. One thing's for sure, when you leave, you'll have a good sense of what the people in this church are like. Whether they demonstrate openly hospitality and concern, a genuineness that comes through in their voices and in their attitude toward you. I have to ask, are we the kind of church that makes people feel welcome into our midst? Even people that may not be like us. Jesus said in his prayer, "And my life is on display in them." Notice it doesn't say my life is on display for them. It says my life is on display in them. Is the life of Christ on display in you? For people dealing with an emotional crisis or a mental health issue, this uncomfortable feeling of venturing into an unknown place is true of not just a church setting, but of many places in their lives. I've shared with you before, I went through a period of darkness in my own life, a time of depression that was prompted by the death of my mother, probably some other things that were going on, but certainly feelings of guilt that came from that. At the same time, there were major changes in my job and my work life, something that I put far too much emphasis on for too many years. And it resulted in things that I had strived for and worked for just going away, seemingly overnight. There were other things as well, but I can tell you that there is no fast cure for a mental illness, whether that's depression, anxiety, anything else. Even with medication and counseling, supportive friends and family members, people will turn in and upon themselves and find any sort of outside stimulus to be uncomfortable and threatening. And of course, this is often where the addictions begin. Because even when you're depressed, even the simplest of actions seem to be too much. And for those without support, without resources, without the encouragement of loved ones and close friends, how are they to overcome that darkness? The problem, perhaps, is the answer is not the same for any two people. It's different for all of us. But by having Christ's life demonstrated in us, we can show people love and compassion, resist the temptation to judge others, or put a price on our friendship, and certainly we can find ways to help other than casually dismissing them or avoiding them altogether. Because really, that's what having the life of Christ in you is all about. See, that was Jesus' message, that God loves you, each of you, everyone, that God cares for everyone, that God will be present with all who seek him, with everyone. As we try to absorb and live out that message in our lives, there are those with mental illness in our midst who will not believe it. And we must do everything in our power to let the Christ that lives within us shine through and to bring those people along with us, even those that are left weary and broken by mental illness. And we need to do so with a unity of heart and mind. So I think we have some things to work on regarding this Mental Health Awareness Day. Perhaps the easiest thing is a source of information, a resource for folks to look at and find help. A bit harder is having a conversation, finding the courage to speak out about the struggles in our own lives and families, and then for each one of us to work on our hospitality, both individually and as a church, training ourselves to see the needs that are around us and the struggles that others are enduring, and then doing what Christ would do, reaching out in love, not turning aside because we might be afraid of getting involved, because unless the Christ inside us finds a way to come out, finds ways to appear to those that are watching us, our faith and love for God and for Jesus won't really amount to much. Let us pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much for this congregation, this group of people that are filled with your love and compassion. But Lord, we know there's always room for improvement. And Lord, we're aware of those that are in our lives, our families, friends, that may be suffering in some way from a mental illness. And Lord, it's sometimes convenient and easy to turn away and to leave it to others. But Lord, you know you called us to be the living example, the living embodiment of Christ himself in this earth. Help us, Lord, to find the courage within us. Give us the spirit and the love and compassion and mercy that others around us will know that we are of you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.